RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from Winter 1951. Murder Money. The 160th adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery. A specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask, his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, Murder Money. Chapter 1. Dead of Night. He was a man of medium height and weight. His name was Clyde Bannister, or at least that was what he was known by. And he was afraid, not just fearful or worried, but genuinely terrified, with a ghastly sinking feeling that no matter what he did or said, he was doomed. He had only one card left to play. It was an ace, and it was up his sleeve. But he wasn't sure the game would last long enough for him to play it. At the moment he was deep inside a darkened doorway. His eyes were bright, even in the dark, with the pure terror that filled him. A large sedan rolled past slowly. They knew he was in the neighborhood, all right. The sedan stopped and two men got out. The car rolled on and further down the street two more men got out. There would be other cars, many more men, because they would have to stake everything on this deal. If Clyde Bannister played that ace, they were all licked, and they knew it. Bannister forced himself to think calmly. They had this street patrolled. To reach his destination, he had to go down it, and there wasn't a chance. Not by that direct route. But if he could reach the alleys at the rear of all these business buildings, he might be able to make it. He turned quickly and looked at the door of the store, saw that it wasn't much of a barrier. The glass seemed thin and rather old. There were no signs of burglar alarms. After all, it was only a small tobacco store, and the owner probably carried the cash receipts home each day. Bannister knew that those men were slowly approaching him, and they would be bound to examine this doorway. He went into a paroxysm of shuddering at the thought. Then he took a small caliber automatic out of his hip pocket, covered the butt with a thin fold of his handkerchief, and started tapping against the glass near the lock. That didn't work, so he risked tapping the glass without the pad of the handkerchief. The glass cracked, and he felt like cheering. Luck had been good to him lately, to allow him to get even this far. It was going to stay with him. He worked faster now because those men would be closing in. He gave the glass one hard blow and a section of it broke. He quickly made a hole big enough to reach through, and his exploring hand soon located the bolt. He slipped it, got the door open, and stepped inside. No alarms went off. He was comparatively safe. He closed the door quickly and bolted it again. Then he started through the store but hesitated. There was a strain of larceny in Clyde Bannister's makeup, and he couldn't resist the display of cigarettes on the counter. He stuffed his pockets with a dozen packs. On sudden inspiration, he stopped long enough to force the small automatic down between his shoe and his ankle. If he should be caught, they might miss it. He patted his inside pocket, felt the envelope there crackle slightly, and began losing some of that awful terror. The odds had been dead against him until now. They were at least evenly balanced from here on.